Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, July 7th, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 92, paragraph 1, which begins with, "If you're satisfied he's a real alcoholic," and ends with, "There may be little chance he can recover by himself." Today's readers are Julie E.B. for the 12 Steps, Laura W. for the 12 Traditions, Yvonne A. will comment on our reading, and Laura W. from New Jersey will close us out on page 164. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 20420, and the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 20422. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. As OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious conduct with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. And I will now ask Laura W. from Ohio to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Laura W. from Ohio, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. Tradition 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Tradition 3. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Tradition 6. In an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Tradition 7. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Tradition 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Tradition 9, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Tradition 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Laura W. from Ohio.
Thank you very much, Laura. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 92, paragraph 1, and I will ask Yvonne A. to please begin reading it for us.
Good morning, everyone. This is Yvonne A., a recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. Page 92, paragraph 1. If you are satisfied that he is a real alcoholic, begin to dwell on the hopeless feature of the malady. Show him from your own experience how the queer mental conditions surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. Don't at this stage refer to this book unless he has seen it and wishes to discuss it. And be careful not to brand him as an alcoholic. Let him draw his own conclusion. If he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can, if he is not too alcoholic. But insist that if he is severely afflicted, there may be little chance he can recover by himself. And boy, when I read that, I see myself all over that paragraph. I didn't want to hear this information from other people. And it took me a very long time, actually, to reach the end of my eating career and land at the doorstep of OA because I didn't want to listen. And I knew people sort of had my best interests at heart, but I needed to get here for myself. So yeah, me branding somebody else a compulsive overeater is not what is necessary, especially since most of us already have shame and guilt and bad feelings about the fact that we can't control our food. We want to, but we can't, no matter how hard we try. And that is this disease. It prevents us from being able to apply willpower to this disease. We can have willpower in other parts of our lives. For me, I found that I did well in other parts of my life. For me, part of step one was the inability to say my life was unmanageable because my willpower worked in other places, but it did nothing when it came to my food compulsions. And so the first sentence starts out that if I'm satisfied, he's a real alcoholic. For me personally, as a sponsor, I don't have to be satisfied of that. It's the sponsee that has to be satisfied that he's a real alcoholic or a real compulsive overeater. And if that person is there, or if that person thinks they're there, then I'm there. And if they think they're not, then I can wish them well and leave my door wide open for an opportunity that may come along in the future when they think they are ready, or perhaps they aren't compulsive overeaters. I don't know about referring to this book up front or not. Certainly there's a lot of discussions that I have with people upfront when I'm sponsoring that don't involve this book at the start, just understanding their story, telling my story. It's a privilege to tell my story. It's an opportunity to remember where I have come from. And so I want them to be able to feel like they've got an open space to talk about their story and draw their own conclusions to see if, as they tell their story, they identify with some of the things that I'm saying and think that perhaps a 12-step program is home for them. It's where I felt home. It's where I welcome others who find themselves at the doorstep. And I wanted more than anything to be able to recover on my own. I actually asked people, just where's the directions? I don't want a sponsor. I just want the book of instructions on how to do it by myself. But I can absolutely say for certain that this is nothing that I could have done on my own. I was too far gone in this disease to even begin to understand this book on my own. And so, yeah, there was actually beyond little, there was no chance that I was going to be able to recover on my own. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, much. Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate it, Yvonne. Okay, so we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to comment on page 92, paragraph 1. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name. First initial of your last name also, please, and where you're calling from.
Linda P.
Linda P.
Lauren N.
Lauren N. Anyone else?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, why don't we start out with Linda P., Lauren N., and Jordan L., and I'm sure you're going to motivate lots more shares. So please share with us Linda P., and you'll be followed by Lauren N.
Hi, thank you. This is Linda P. from California. Compulsive overeater, recovered. I'm happy to be on this line today. I really like the opening share. And in looking at that paragraph, the thing that I thought of was that the people that I've talked to or, over the years, usually if they're looking for a sponsor, they're pretty desperate, you know, and as long as they're willing to put down the food, willing to do the work, I figure that so much of understanding the disease and the powerlessness and how the disease works comes out in the first step. So as long as those things are there, I don't too much worry about it. I really do think step one is so powerful in the way that we do it in the big book. And then I think about, you know, my younger brother who has this disease and has always had it and is, you know, is probably going to die from this disease. He's, oh gosh, maybe 400, 500 pounds. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, how much another person weighs, but he's really killing himself and cannot see any part of the disease. There's been a few times he's looked into OA, but he's fully in his disease and there is just nothing. I mean, by the grace of God, of course, you know, recovery can happen. But I guess, you know, just the sadness of looking at him and thinking, you know, some people will decide to die from this disease. It'll be so hard to put down that idea, you know, that we're powerless and that there is another solution, you know, and I've just kind of come to accept that. Not that he's hopeless, but there are some people who are going to stay in this disease and may die from the disease and become our teachers. But it's just, you know, it's very sad. And and just the reality, you know, but I do love working with people and seeing people change and grow through the steps, and just knowing that all the recovery is right there in the big book, and all I have to do is do what was done with me, and the rest, you know, happens. So that's what I have to say. Thank you for letting me share. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you so much, Linda P. Lauren N., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jordan L.
This is Lauren N. from New York. I'm a sugar addict and a compulsive overeater, and grateful to be here today. I could so relate to the original share, and I was a recovered person, and I didn't believe, or something in me didn't believe, that I really had this disease, because I picked up, and after many years of being recovered, and I went back into the sugar, and the sugar took me down. And it was only, you know, the fact that I overdid it and spent almost, gained 50 pounds, and of my 160 that I had lost, and did not see myself, was in total denial. And I didn't even know I was lying. That disease that tells us we don't have a disease is the hardest part of this. I worked with many people and couldn't understand why they didn't get sobriety, and why they weren't able to find the abstinence that I had found so easily. But then when I picked up, and that's obviously the reason I needed to, because, well, I don't know what the reason was. God, who knows? God knows, I think. But the point was, is that I had to learn that I had a disease that was fatal. And it was fatal. I was killing myself every day after years of being in recovery by eating and eating and eating. And all of a sudden, after my eating overtook me, I was able to get back into these rooms, and I'm grateful that I have 90 days of abstinence today. And thank God, I now know I am a complete compulsive overeater, and I cannot rest on my laurels at all. I have to work this program every single minute of every day, because if I don't, I will be back in the food. And I appreciate all our shares. Thank you, and I'll mute.
Thank you so much, Lauren. And Jordan L., you're up next, and after Jordan shares, we'll take another lineup on page 92, paragraph 1. Please share with us, Jordan.
Hey, thank you for moderating for us this morning. excuse me. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting. it's still quite moving to me. Being able to stay abstinent and be happy about it, and continuing to share this message of recovery, and I don't want to say an effective manner, because I'm staying abstinent, that's the point here, right? It's like Bill for those first 6 months, he's out trying to, you know, going to the bars, pulling drunks off of bar stools, trying to get them sober, tell them about God, right? And it wasn't working, except it worked for him, you know? I got to remember that. so It's very important to, I remember, like it says, from your own experience, from my own experience, I'm sharing with other compulsive overeaters about this strange mental twist or this strange mental blank spot that prevents my incredible amount of willpower that works in a whole bunch of other areas. It prevents it from working here. That's what makes me a real compulsive overeater. I start to understand how it is that I can share that experience with someone else, and that I have, it's like my superpower. I have, because I have my own personal experience with it, it shifts, you know? It's like the same thing that happened to me when I got on this line and I heard people talking about being recovered. I heard people talking about food neutrality. I'm like in a very lucky position right now where I'm working with a newcomer over the phone who's never had any exposure to Overeaters Anonymous whatsoever. And I got a new in-person meeting in this tiny little town that I live in Colorado. And again, like, some of these folks have absolutely no other exposure to Overeaters Anonymous. So I got to be like that walking big book, you know? And I got to do it in a way where I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything. Like, I am just the example. So when they're sitting there talking about like struggling with eating just a little bit of ice cream, just two scoops or just a pint or whatever it is, I can be like, look, guys, I cried when I had to cut ice cream. I'll finish up. I cried when I had to cut ice cream out of my life. It was my best friend in the whole world. But I got to tell you, ice cream sits in my fridge or my freezer for 6 months now, and I don't even notice it. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm completely neutral around my alcoholic foods. And it is, if it's possible for me, then it's possible for you. It's as simple as that. So thank you for letting me share, and that is all I got.
Thanks so much, Jordan L. So, although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday and you'd like to share today, please press star 1 to unmute. We're commenting on page 92, paragraph 1.
Joan R. Oregon.
I heard Joan R. Pamela E. Alice W. From Oregon.
Roz G.
Roz G. Hello, from Oregon.
K.L.
Larry G.
Alice W.
Erica T. There's someone with an amazing accent that's not, I'm not getting your name.
Alice W.
Alice W. All right. Okay, I'll tell you who I have. I think I missed a few. So I've got Joan R., Pamela, didn't get your first initial, Roz G., Faye L., Larry G., and Alice G. Was there anybody I missed?
K.L.
Joan Marie.
Joan Marie and someone L.
K.L.
K.L. and Joan Marie. All right. Okay, let's stop with that. And if you are not Joan R., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And if I didn't get you, I'm very sorry. Okay, so Joan R., you're our first share for today. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Joan R. from Oregon. So grateful to be here this morning and for listening to this paragraph again and the wonderful shares about it. It's, you know, it's new every day. At least my recovery is. And what I heard first of all was in reading traditions that tradition 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. So that's the only requirement, and I've been in recovery face-to-face meetings seriously since 2000, and I just had so much problems with some of the things that were said, especially about people with mental illnesses, how difficult it is for us to recover. But we can if we begin to be honest. And I have, lost the weight and in increments and all the time working with these incredible people that a higher power than myself put in my life, who were patient with this person who, this is after, 20, 30 years that I've been able to identify that, my thinking has been delusional. And from things deep in my past, and for me, actually, when I was in the womb. So that these have been revealed to me slowly over time and at the right timing. And I am so grateful for the AA Big Book. It made a huge difference in getting honest. And I always thought I was so honest, but I was overweight and I couldn't stop eating. So my message this morning is to not give up, ever give up. That's the one thing that has really saved me, and the beautiful willingness of others to work with people that are pretty sick. So I'm grateful for this program, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Joan R. Pamela, I did not get the first initial of your last name, but you are up next, if you could let us know that and where you're calling from. And you'll be followed by Roger.
Is it for Pamela E?
Yes, thank you. You're followed by Roger. Okay. Thanks so much. Please share with us, Pamela.
Yes, Pamela E. from California. Thank you so much. Yes. I love this paragraph. It takes me back to the beginning, not to the beginning of my affliction, which started when I was about 10, but all the things that I had done once I was a teenager to try to lose weight and to maintain a normal weight, and how quick I was to pick up the first diet or the first book or to take my mother's medications when it didn't work for her. And then I tried the psychological solution from therapist, thinking that that was the answer. And eventually I got to a therapist who recognized my symptoms, recognized my story, because she had that same story herself. And she's the one who first mentioned, she was brave enough with her career, but she mentioned Overeaters Anonymous to me. I didn't take that bite at first. I was still wanting her, notice I said her, to cure me, not God to heal me. I wasn't willing to take that direction just yet. Then finally, I got into the room and doubted everything that was being said until I saw that I couldn't get out of the food, right? Yeah. But I still remember her voice, and I still remember the story that she shared, and I still get to share my story of ongoing recovery. Yeah. So I came to OA in 2012 and got to my ideal weight. Life hit, picked up the food again, and off to the races it was. Yeah. I get to share my story with other folks. And when I get on the phone with you all now, and I hear in this chapter, in this paragraph, when I hear your words, it takes me back to what is the reality The delusion of the first bite is a delusion. And right now there is a space of pause. When it speaks, I hear the lie. And I am so grateful for that today. And I'm so grateful for that one day at a time. And that I don't get to preach, but I get to share my experience, my strength, and my hope. One day, one moment, one word at a time, to a person who is ready, to a person who is willing. So grateful. Thank you, and I pass. Pamela from Cali.
Thank you, Pamela from Cali. Pamela E. Roz G., also from Cali, is going to share next, and she'll be followed by Faye L. Please share with us, Roz.
I'm going back to Cali, yeah. Remember that song? Okay, I'll stop. My name's Roz, and G, and I am a recovered compulsive eater from Cali. And I'm in Palmdale, California, yes, and I am so grateful. I will be serious now. I need, you know, sometimes life is so serious, and I've got so many serious things going on. I need to, like, have some levity and laugh a little bit. But when, you know, getting to this paragraph, tell him how baffled you were. I think that's where you guys were. And when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2002, I did not think that I was one of you. I thought that I simply had a weight problem. I had tried so many things, and believe me, when I got into Overeaters Anonymous, I kept trying and trying more. And that background noise is my dog, so I'm going to move away from there. And I didn't think I was one of you. I thought that I just had a weight problem. And because I had never reached a certain weight like some of the ladies in that room did, I didn't have their problem. And I told my sponsor, I'm not sure if I have this problem, and I don't need this and that. And I was so filled with my ego and myself and self-knowledge that I had to be completely smashed into me, that I was powerless. I had to, like the book says, you know, the life and body of the alcoholic or overeater has to be completely smashed. There's another word for it, but it's not coming to me right now. I had to come to that bottom, that Bill, I was so, where he was so lonely that alcohol became his master, and where food and my ego and my character defects became my master. And so when I sponsor today, I am so grateful that I am able to share stories, anecdotes of what happened to me, so that I don't come from a spiritual or moral high top, so that I can say, yeah, I had to have surgeries because of my obesity and exercising it all off and just messing up with the joints in my body and the digestive problems that I had, you know, GERD and acid reflux, and having to, you know, be on medications for acid reflux because I was eating too late at night and stuffing my gut and, you know, trying to go to sleep like that and waking up hyperventilating, not being able to breathe. You know, that those are the that's to where the depths of overeating took me. And you know, other people. Okay, and I'll wrap up by saying other people have, you know, even more serious stories than that. But today I'm very grateful that I can come from a place of humility and identification, and that I am neutral towards those foods today, like Jordan L. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Faye L., you're up next, followed by Larry G. Star one to unmute. Faye?
I think Faye L. might be also KL.
I think it might be.
If Faye comes up, okay, if Faye comes up, I'm more than, you know, happy to step aside, so.
Thank you. It's more likely that I made a mistake, so I don't
that's
hear
okay.
A Faye, so please
okay.
Share with us, Kay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And thank you for your service and everyone willing to share their story. That's how I got well. So I let them draw their own conclusions was, I think for me, is such a test in our humility and in our purity of motive. I know I try and say a prayer before I ever get a call from a new person. God, let me really hear this person. Let me really understand what they are saying and just really be a good listener. And part of it is because my own recovery was so interesting and unique. It didn't happen like so many that I went to. And I went to some meetings in the beginning and I didn't hear what, you know, I didn't have the certain things they were struggling with. And so I didn't think I belonged. Anyway, it's just such a hodgepodge. You know, we have overeating, undereating. We have, you know, just basic compulsive overeating for volume. And we have every situation. It started at youth. It started at, you know, a crisis point in our lives. So I try to really listen because I was lucky to understand my own story, my own way with this cunning, powerful, and baffling thing that I got mixed up in. And mine happened later in life, so it threw me a little bit more. And so anyway, and my recovery was very interesting. And when I first came, it was clear to me I was doing stuff that was very strange and not healthy. And so I immediately kind of jumped right in, got a good sponsor, luckily, because then she left town and we lost track. And I thought, oh, I've got it. You know, I've had 3 years of the same weight and I'm doing well. I get it. I get this program like somebody else. I can do it alone. And then I had trouble once I figured out, God, I'm not doing it alone. It didn't come on like it did before because I had learned some things. But it just slowly crept back. And so then I had trouble with finding a meeting, a sponsor, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm so grateful of the humility and the purity of motive of the sponsor I ended up with. She's so wonderful. And she really listens. And she never tells me, she just shares her strength and experience. And then once in a while she'll say, will you like a suggestion? But usually it's me. You got any suggestions? Because I get stuck. But anyway, I'm just so grateful for this program and all the beautiful people that come. I feel like when God gives us this particular thing, he must want us real close because we have to deal with it 24/7. I mean, this is not something we just put away and never do again. This is something that is a part of our life for the rest of our life. And so I feel like it's one of the closest ways I can think of to stay with God, because I'm going to be eating forever till the day I die. And this little thing can knock on the door so quickly in so many different ways that some people have said that the disease is out in the hall doing push-ups. So I'm just grateful to be here, and thanks for having us.
Thank you very much, KL. Larry G., you're up next, followed by Alex G.
Larry G. from California, and Elaine, I thought you were talking about me with the amazing California accent. I love what you said, Roz. We are not a glum lot. We get to have some fun, right? Because we've escaped the jaws of death. We started out reading a doctor's opinion, and I learned I was sick as toxic rain, right, and didn't even know it. And now we're at step 12, where I can now use the word recovered and the way out of this dilemma I face each day itself is giving service to others. You know, when I came into Vision for You, I was so full of self. I mean, just I was rank with it. There's two things I focused on each day. One was how I could skate to the edge of ice, eat as much food as I could possibly eat and still call myself absent, or give myself a day off and plan the binge, right? The mother of all binges, and the next day, a fresh start, taking a fresh start. That was what my day looked like 3 years plus. And now I'm at step 12. And maybe some of the new people on this call are asking themselves the question, what does step 12 have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you and me. We can do step 12 anytime, wherever we are in our recovery, whether step one or we haven't taken step one. We can get outside ourselves and pick the phone up and call a compulsive eater who still suffers. I don't care what kind of day I'm having. When I pick the call, phone up and call a newcomer who's suffering, I'm always finding somebody who has a lot worse than I do. And maybe you'll find that too. You can wait till the end of this call, get newcomers' names, and practice the 12 step. Reach out and call them. And I don't care where you are in your recovery, whether you're just coming off a relapse or not, you're going to talk to somebody who is in a worse situation than you are. And just in that moment, I can shine a ray of hope. I can shine that one ray of hope in that person's life. And no matter how my day is going, I can go to bed that night and do my 11-step review and say, you know, Larry, yeah, your day was shit. You know, dark day, full of self, but it was one moment, just one moment, Larry, that you talk to somebody and share your experience, drinking hope, and gave that person a little hope. That's what a 12-step is about. 12-step is our legacy, the legacy of AA, one drunk talking to another. Doctors, spouses, friends, all of their warnings to me fell on deaf ears. But when that alcoholic, that food addict reaches out to me and we speak that common language, I can hear that person. And I can say, yeah, me too. I have this also. That is the legacy of this program. That's really the original. That's it. There was no Big Book in the 30s. There was no meetings in the 30s. This was it. Bill W., Dr. Bob sitting down with another drunk and just telling their story and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, and just shining that one ray of hope on that suffering. Do the same thing. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Larry G. Alice G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Joan Marie.
Hi there. It's Alice W. here from the UK. Can I be heard okay?
Yes, can, Alice W. Yes.
Great. Thank you. Oh, what a lovely, lovely paragraph and lovely meeting. Funny enough, actually, I was really in self this morning because I wake up untreated every day. And so I did a couple of step 10s and it was, you know, it's about what do people think about me? You know, and I just go about me. And my sponsor sent me a text saying you need to share on the meeting and get out of self. And it's funny. I used to think she was harsh when she said things like that. But it's so true. When I'm carrying a message, helping someone else, or if I'm having a bad day and I'm on the verge of just, you know, going to a slight self-destruct and, you know, a sponsee calls me, it just keeps me in it. And actually, I've had so much more emotional sobriety and feeling of peace since I've been working with others. When it says about hopeless feature of the malady, show him from your own experience how the queer mental condition surrounding that first drink prevents normal functioning of the willpower. And then just quickly, I love this bit, the paragraph where it says, if he sticks to the idea that he can still control his drinking, tell him that possibly he can if he's not too alcoholic. I love that because I always thought that I could manage my drinking, eating, and I couldn't. I mean, I couldn't get an hour. I couldn't get a day. I was relapsing for years before I came to Vision for You. And every time I'd share on a relapse meeting, I'd say, I'm on day one. And it's just this absolute, when it talks about that lack of willpower and that total darkness of being in the disease. And when people tell me facts about all the dangers of this disease, that's just made me want to eat more. When I went to my first meeting, just someone sharing their experience, like every word was me, and no one told me what to do. And they just shared that experience. And that's what really, really helped me with the identification. I just think, oh, wow, you know, and I started reading the literature. It's like, oh, my goodness, this is a thing, you know. So I'm just incredibly grateful to everyone on this line. And I'm so grateful for the last 9 months. I know it's not days, but it's, you know, my character has been changed. I thought that was impossible. There have been situations I've been to recently where I just thought it was impossible for me to go to them, and I've actually enjoyed them. And there's also been situations which have been horrendous, and somehow I haven't lost it. You know, I've managed to do the work and be okay. So I'm just, you know, day at a time and making mistakes all the time. But it's not a lineal thing, you know, but I've just got so much improvement in the short 9 months.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'll leave it there.
Okay, thank you. So we have time for two minute shares for Joan Marie and KL. So Joan Marie, please share with us. And actually, I think it's just going to be time for the one share, I'm afraid.
Hey, I'm Joan Marie.
So sorry, KL. Okay, Joan Marie, please help. Please go ahead.
Okay, I'm Joan Marie from Nevada, recovered and grateful to be on the program. I don't know too much more to share that has not been shared already, but that hopelessness, that hope that this program and this way of living has given me by the grace of God and the power of God, I'm so very grateful that I finally got it at this time in my life. I mean, it's been in program for many, many years and had moments and times of abstinence, but this now is not fighting it anymore, not restricting, not dieting. It's just being eating healthy, and in the place that I'm put in now is a place of neutrality, not fighting it any longer, not trying to do it on my own. I can't. It's only God's power. And my message is hope. I was the hopeless type. I was very depressed and anxious and worried about everything and every situation. Today I put my life in the hands of my God, and I trust with all my heart. And I thank God for the ability to give this message to my sponsees and to anyone that would listen. And, you know, when the person is ready, he will hear. They will hear. But until they're ready, they will not hear. But I will keep on sounding the alarm and keep on saying, you can do it. If I could do it, you can do it. And thank you, God. And thank you all for your wonderful, wonderful shares. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. And KL, we have time for about a one-minute share. If you would like to take that, I'd love to hear from you. KL? Thought I had heard a KL.
KL already shared.
You already shared. Okay. My goodness, I had you down here twice. Okay. Fabulous. All right. Well, we're going to close.
FL. I was Faye L.
Oh, it was Faye L. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now I got it. Now I got it. Okay. Wonderful. Well, we're just about the top of the hour here, so we're ready for our next. So though we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Laura W. from New Jersey please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.